This is The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik. In 2012, Martinez Evans was sitting in his doctor's office. The physician took one look at him and said, "You have two options, lose weight or die." Heartened from being bullied and fat-shamed his whole life, Martinez didn't just take his doctor's orders. "Screw you," he said in anger. "I'm going to run a marathon." And with that, Martinez went on to change his entire life and along the way grew to lead a community of thousands of others with the Slow AF Running Club. But this isn't a Biggest Loser story of dramatic weight loss through massive diet and exercise change. This is a story about dramatic accomplishment at any size, any speed, or any color. This is an exploration of a movement of back of the packers who are taking their rightful place on the race course, working just as hard, if not harder, than anyone else. Welcome to The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and my mission is to help you improve your running, your mindset, and your life with science-backed training and plant-based nutrition. Martinez and I today talk about his story and why weight loss and marathon running don't always go together, how training has to be done differently for slower runners, and how to find an accepting community of runners, no matter what your pace. You can probably guess with a name like the Slow AF Running Club that the language in this conversation is going to get a little colorful. We've chosen not to censor out the cuss words to keep this authentic. If you're new to the show and curious about all the ways I can help you with your running nutrition and mindset, the best place to find me is on Instagram at The Planted Runner or head to theplantedrunner.com/link. For a quick list of all the ways I help runners just like you, you can check out my book, The PR Team, get a custom running plan made just for you, and so much more. That's theplantedrunner.com/link. If you're not new to the show, this is a great time to remind you about our monthly Apple Podcast Review Contest. All you need to do is write a 5-star review, and one lucky winner will receive free access to one of my online running masterclasses. Reviews are truly the easiest and most impactful way of helping this show, and I choose a new winner every month. Don't forget to stay tuned all the way to the end of the episode for another Mental Strength Minute. Fortify your mind in 60 seconds or less. And now, here's my conversation with Martinez Evans. Welcome to The Planted Runner, Martinez.
Claire, thank you for having me.
So we're just going to jump right in with it and talk about the F word.
Okay.
So you consider the word fat to be neutral. And for a lot of people, that word is highly charged. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think the word fat has been something that has been, let's say, a bad word, right? Something that people use to disparage another population. And as a person who has degrees like a thermometer, so I have a degree in exercise science and a degree and public health and health promotion and health education. And one of the things I just learned throughout all of this journey is that, like, we all have fat on our bodies. Mm-hmm. So versus it being such a bad thing, I just call it what it is. Yeah, I got fat on my body and you got fat on your body too. Mm-hmm. I might just have more than someone else, but saying the F word or, you know, calling somebody fat don't really move me how people think it should be.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly not going to go around calling anybody fat. I will not comment on other people's bodies, but you obviously have started a movement that has resonated with people. Let's back up to the beginning. Why did you decide that you're going to be a runner?
So yeah, I decided to be a runner about 13 years ago. I was actually working at a job. I was on my feet 10 hours a day and I developed some hip pain. So I went to go see this doctor. He was an orthopedic surgeon. And I went there to get some help on what's going on with my hip. And before he even touched me or anything like that, he was like, "Oh, I know why you're in pain." I was like, "Why?" He was like, because you're fat. There goes that F word again. And then he was like, "You know, you need to lose weight or die." So I'm taken aback. I'm also angry and I'm upset. I'm a little hurt as well because it's one of these things of like, here we go again. I'm at the doctor's office. Not even my primary care. Like, you are an orthopedic surgeon. Like, that is your specialty. And like, who are you to tell me that I'm fat and I'm going to die? So then he go on this whole rant and rave about, well, you need to start walking to lose weight. And I just remember just looking at him like, didn't I just tell you my job requires me to be on my feet for 10 hours a day?
Right.
So me being angry, upset, all those other things, I was like, screw you and screw walking. I'm going to run a marathon.
Wow.
At first, I was just being facetious. Just, you know, you tell me I'm going to walk. Forget it, Dan. I'm going
to
run.
You just going to stick it to him.
Yeah, just going to stick it to him. And he laughed at me and told me that was the most dumbest thing he has heard in all his years of practicing medicine.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I really wanted to, like, give him a deep tissue fist massage in his face, right? So instead of putting hands on him like I really wanted to, I stormed out the doctor's office. And on my way home, I remember driving home and just ruminating about this conversation of, like, Dr. Carly Fat told me if I run a marathon, like, I'll die. And it's like, who is he to tell me? Like, this dude told me I was going to die twice in one, like, doctor's
office. Oh, no.
Like, I came there for a hip pain, and I left with, you know what, Martinez? You only got 1 week to live, right?
Oh, my God.
So as I'm driving home, I drive past a running shoe store, and it happened to be a Fleet Feet. At that moment, I didn't even know, like, what Fleet Feet was. I just, like, oh, running shoe store, let me go get some shoes. And I walked into the running shoe store, and I told them I need running shoes, and I need them now because I'm going to go run a marathon.
And what did they say? Did they say you were going to die?
No. They was like, okay, cool. Like, tell us about your goals. How are you going to get there? Have you been running before? Have you ever heard of a gait analysis? All these other things that, like, left my world and head spinning. But I left out of there with some shoes, some arch support, and I started running. And that was my origin story. That's how my journey started.
That's amazing. So what about, you know, a lot of people, I have heard this, that people say running is too hard on your joints when you're heavy. It's too much pressure. You should be walking. You should not start with running because it's just, you know, too much pressure on your joints. What do you say to that?
I say that anybody can run in the body that they have right now. It may look different than what you see on TV. It may look different from what you see on professionals, but you can run. And yeah, for me, that was running for 15 seconds and walking for 90 seconds.
Okay.
That's how I got started. I literally ran for 15 seconds, walked for 90 seconds, mm-hmm, and did that until I eventually started running more than I was walking.
Yeah. I love the run walk method. I use it with all my athletes, even athletes that can run if they're coming back from injury. Run walk is, I could sing the praises of it all day long, but especially for beginner runners, you actually end up running more when you use run walk. So that's amazing. So I would love to hear, like, some of the stereotypes that you face. I mean, so your doctor told you to run to lose weight. Well, did you end up losing weight?
Oh, Claire, let's talk about this. I've lost weight. I've gained weight. I lost it and gained it. It becomes one of those things where it's like a secret in running. I almost think it like it's a secret in exercise of, like, oh, if you exercise, that's going to equate to weight loss. And once you start marathon training, all of that, I'll start cussing, but all of that stuff is out the window.
Right.
Like, weight loss is out the window. And one of the things I tell even the people that I coach is that you going on a low carb, paleo, or whatever they want to call it, diet, and, like, training for a half marathon and a full marathon competes against each other.
Yes.
It competes against each other. So, like, this is why you are in pain. This is why you feel sluggish. This is why you feel like I can't do this running stuff, because you don't have the energy to get done.
Yes.
You don't have the energy to do this stuff.
Yeah. I say it's like a bodybuilder trying to gain muscle while they're cutting. You know, it's just, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So, like, at the beginning of my journey, I lost weight. Cool. I was on intentional weight loss journey. But I was an ass. Like, my family didn't like me. My friends didn't like me. Like, I remember people would come around and be like, I like the fat Martinez better because this skinny Martinez is a jerk. And it's because I was hungry. Like, I'm marathon training and calorie restricting and being like, oh, I'm not going to eat carbs. The carbs going to make me fat. And then, like, so I'm just training off marathons off of fats and protein. Like, yeah, I'm going to be a terror.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, eventually, once I, like, went through that, and I was like, you know what? It was actually a moment in life that actually changed the way I thought about this stuff. So I had a car accident at my first marathon.
Oh, no.
And, like, had a bad injury and couldn't run for, like, 8 months. So gained all the weight, wasn't able to be active, so on and so forth. And I remember during that time being like, you know what? Like, yes, I lost 80 pounds, but I wasn't 80 pounds happier. Like, in fact, I would say like my happiness level was on the downward trajectory as more weight that I lost. Like, you start to realize like it's not your fat. It's not you being fat that's the problem. It's the whole world around you.
Yeah.
Because like once you lose the weight, like, you don't have nothing else to hide behind. And like all those things that you, traumas and things that you have to deal with is still there.
Right.
But that's a whole nother thing. Like, we can go down that route. But I remember talking to my therapist during that time and being like, you know what? Like, I wasn't 80 pounds happier. And he was like, well, what made you happy? And I was like, running. Mm. And I remember being like, you know, like, if I'm able to run after this injury, like, I'll run regardless if I'm 400 pounds or 150 pounds because, like, an active Martinez is a happier Martinez, mm-hmm. like, regardless of the weight.
Right.
So 8 months later, I was able to start running. And for me, like, that light switched on to say, like, you know what? Like, screw all this weight loss stuff because it's a bunch of BS anyway. Like, screw all these special diets. I'm just going to fuel myself to be the best runner I can be at that given moment.
And I love it.
That's been about 10 years of journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started the Slow AF Running Club and, mm-hmm. you know, you and your huge community, your middle of the Packers, back of the Packers, you guys have your own group, your own club that celebrates runners no matter what they look like, no matter what mm-hmm. size, and in the running world, no matter what pace. Why is that so important to you?
That's very important because as a back of the Packer myself, like, I remember all the things that like I endured in order to run 8 marathons and hundreds of other races. Like, I remember the times where people heckled me or the times where I ran a race and they start packing up all the water and then materials and snacks or finishing a marathon and like no finish line be there, no medals, no nothing. And
people would like, actually heckle you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
This is where the name Slow AF even came from.
Oh my God.
I was running a race and this guy was like, hey, I ain't gonna say the words, but he's like, hey buddy, you Slow AF, right. Go home.
Ah. And he wasn't even running, was he?
He wasn't even running a race.
So he was a lot slower than you.
He wasn't even running a race, right? So as a person, And that's the thing about this running industry is that like, A, is cliquish. B, I feel like runners is the most craziest like community out there because like they're focusing on numbers and like there's this whole caste system that goes along with it. And if you are, you know, they say all paces are welcome, but that really mean if you run anything faster than a 10-minute mile and like, if you get into Boston Marathon and you didn't qualify, or if you did the charity or a sponsor gave you a bib, then you're not worthy and you took somebody else's spot. It's mm-hmm. like all this other stuff that goes along in the running community. Like when it comes for like being slow, that just irritates the mess out of me.
Yeah.
And I think for myself, it was like, I can't be the only person to go through this. I can't be the only person to get heckled. I can't be the only person that ran a race and like as I'm running to the water stop, they're flipping over the water table saying, you know what, we're done. Like I can't be the person that go and like finish a race and like there's no medal there, or most of the times this is my family there. I can't be the only person. So like that's where like me starting the Slow AF Run Club came from, because I wanted to be able to gather all these people in one spot so that we can A, feel validated that our journey is worthy. Like, even if we're not a 2-hour marathoner, like, we're still putting as much work in, mm-hmm. and we're busting our asses. And we should celebrate that, even if the running community in general won't celebrate.
Yeah. The funny thing is that no matter how fast you are, the fastest one or the slowest one, no one thinks they're fast enough. You know, right. No one. There is not a person on the planet that's like, yeah, I'm totally fast enough. I'm good. We're all crazy, you know, right. And we're all doing the same thing. So, yeah. So, okay, let's kind of shift gears into, okay, so you identify as a slow runner. So mm-hmm. what kind of things need to change with your training versus somebody who is a quote unquote faster runner? What do you need to do differently as a quote slow runner?
Fueling strategy for starters.
Okay, let's get into it.
So as a fat, slow runner at that, so I got two things against me, right? So you think about a person of a larger weight, you have this thing called basal metabolic rate. For those of you who are in the exercise sciences world, you know what that is. For people mm-hmm. who don't, that is basically the rate of calories you burn just by sleeping. So if you slept in your bed all day, like that's the amount of calories that you burn. Mm-hmm. So now you add on exercise, running a marathon, and how much you need to fuel and how many calories and or carbs you need to have for that particular race. So for most of us, slow runners, we can't go to a back of a goo packet and follow those rules. I know, I remember when I first started, I can't remember if it was goo or something else. It was like, take one packet at warm up and then take a packet every 3 miles. And I remember me being myself like, dang, like I'm a 15 to 18 minute miler. Like, so I'm taking this like once every hour and been thinking to myself like, dang, like, I don't know if that's enough fuel, or I start to do it and then I don't feel like my best during this race. And I think it's me,
right?
But it's not me. It's the system, because they assume that somebody who's doing this weighs 150 pounds and yada, 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 or whatever pace that they're going at. So as a slower runner, we have to account for that. To say, well, if you got to take this every 30 minutes or every 15 minutes, like that might only be 1 mile.
Right.
Or a half a mile, right? So imagine for me, like I'm running around with 25 goo packets.
Right. You got to have a backpack.
For a marathon. Exactly, right? Like,
right.
Also, as a slow runner, like I am knowing that I understand that they're going to pack up the water stops. So I'm also running this race with 3 liters of water on my back, because I got a hydration pack with 3 liters on my back. Right. So now imagine running a marathon or a half marathon with 3 liters of water on your back, 15 to 20 goos, depending on how long the race is, a battery pack, because your phone gonna die, because your family want to know where you at. And like, you think about all these other things that you have to like think about. And for me, I'm like, damn, like, that's determination. That's grit. That's like, that's badassery.
For sure.
But yeah. People got the nerve to be like, you know what you should do? You should take yourself seriously and lose weight and start to try and get faster.
Aw. People still say that to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. To this day, even though I ran 8 marathons.
Yeah.
8 marathons, hundreds of races. I probably ran more marathons than people who talk crap about me.
After a short break, we'll be back with Martinez Evans.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
You know what's the best way to spend an afternoon after your long run? At the movies. Your hardworking legs get much needed rest, and of course, there's plenty of snacks. If you love going to the movies, you're going to want to hear this. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions.
When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or Screen X, your Regal Unlimited membership plan gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets. You'll also save 10% on all non-alcoholic concessions items. Yep, you not only save on movies, but snacks too. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or at regmovies.com/unlimited and use my code PlantedR24. That's planted, the letter R, 24 at regmovies.com/unlimited. Welcome back to The Planted Runner and my conversation with Martinez Evans. Well, yeah, hopefully things are starting to change, but you know, you're never going to change the mind of the haters. But okay, so let's talk about training for these marathons. So we got to think about the fuel, we got to prepare for the hydration a little differently. I always, when I'm talking to athletes, I always use time instead of distance when it comes to fueling. So that seems to work pretty well. The thing that some people get tripped up in is the long run. So, you know, obviously a slower runner is going to be out there a longer time than a faster runner on these long runs to get in a certain number of miles. Mm-hmm. But after a certain point, we're kind of getting a rate, you know, diminished returns on our long run. You know, going out there on a Saturday and running for 6 hours probably isn't the best way to prepare for a marathon. I don't care how slow you are. So tell me about how you actually do the training, specifically the long run for a marathon.
Claire, if anybody's out here running longer than 4 hours for their long run, don't do it. Like,
thank you.
It's by far the biggest waste of your time if you're like training for a marathon. So one of the things that I do, and I've been doing for a very long time, is that I break up my longer runs. Mm-hmm. So while you might look at, you know, some of these programs, be it Hal Higdon or some of these other famous people that I'll probably never meet or coaches that I'll never meet, there, you know, some people are like believe in overtraining and so on and so forth. But for me, Martinez Evans, I don't run more than 4 hours at a given period. And then if the training does account for like, oh, you need to do a 20 miler or 18 miler, I always split them. I always split them up. Good. I always have two shortest, longest runs. Like I might do, say I got a 20 miler, I might do 14 miles on one day and then the other six on the other day and do it on tired legs.
Yes.
But that's what I do. Typically, with my training, I'm typically running, if I'm like marathon training, about 4-5 days a week. Knowing that I got to count for that long run period, mm-hmm. but I'll still have like some type of like speed play in there as well. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad you say it. Cause that's what I teach my athletes too. It's like, you don't need to be out there for 20 miles at a time. And I think it's something that people try to, they have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. How can I prepare mentally for the marathon if I've only run 14 or 15 miles at once? What do you say to the mental part?
One of the things I tell them is that, like, mentally, you can do this, right? Like, I know that's a hard thing. Like, I know it's a hard thing to wrap your head around. But one of the things I always tell people is that the knowledge that you are comparing yourself to isn't even for you. Mm. So how about this? Most running books out there, most training plans out there, the famous coaches I'll never meet, are for elite athletes or coaches of elite athletes training you how to do it their way. Mm-hmm. So if you are constantly comparing yourself to a standard that doesn't even, like, it isn't even on the same level as you, of course you're going to continue to have this mind-body separation. Mm-hmm. Because you're going off that. You're going off a piece of paper from somebody who came up years ago.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you trying to get a step rate for somebody who was watching a elite athlete run and they just count how many steps they had in a minute and being like, you know what? That's what everybody should have their step rate towards.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I never even thought about the cadence thing. So what you're referring to is 180 steps a minute is like the magic cadence number. So, you know, what do you see with your athletes? Do you even look at their cadence?
No, that don't matter.
Yeah.
Like that stuff don't matter to me and the people that I train. It's mainly about, can you do the distance and are you doing it in a way that's specific to you? And in a way that's healthy and injury free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So you're also a big fan of cross training. Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
A phrase that I like to say is that if you don't spend time cross training, you're going to spend time in a physical therapy or be injured.
Okay.
So, you know, even for myself, when I started running years ago, I thought the only thing I had to do was just run. Mm-hmm. And then I started to get some of these injuries. You know, one of my favorite injuries I had was dead butt syndrome, right? Like
dead butt syndrome.
Dead butt syndrome.
It please explain.
Or, you know, as we like to say in New York, dead ass syndrome. Like, because you know, you got a dead ass. So, but literally what happens is like you're running, but your glutes are not firing. Mm-hmm. So like your glutes is like one of those main powerhouse muscles. And so what happens is that other parts of your body tends to compensate for the glutes not firing. And then from there, you'll start to get all types of other injuries, be it Achilles tendonitis or plantar fasciitis and so on and so forth, because that comes from like your glutes and or your hamstrings are not firing right or not firing at all.
Mm-hmm. So how does the cross training help with that? What do you do?
Oh, man. Posterior. For anybody who's listening right now, look up this word, posterior chain. So what is that? That is your glutes. That is your hammies. That is your calves. That's your soleus. Strengthen those. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can do the front muscles as well. But what does that mean? A lot of deadlifts, a lot of, I want to say bed bugs, not bed.
Dead bugs. Don't do bed bugs. We can skip those.
A lot of, you know, I want to say bed bugs again. Dead bugs, fire hydrants. Gotcha. I think all of those muscles around the encapsulation of the hip and the glutes, because a lot of runners tend to neglect that. And then what they end up with is Achilles tendonitis, because what typically happens is that since your glutes are not firing right, now your hamstrings are not firing right, which means all of the pressures on your calves and that plantar fascia. Mm-hmm. And from there, you're bound to get injured.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we talked a little bit about the community you've built, but community in general, I think, is important for runners. We tend to be, you know, introverts. We tend to run alone. We tend to, you know, be a little kind of data oriented. Mm-hmm. But finding a community is super important. So how would you suggest, you know, we go out and do that? Let's say I'm a brand new runner. I decide, you know, my doctor tells me I'm going to die if I don't get out there, and I decide to go running today. What advice would you give me?
So one of the things I would say, like, of course, you know, shameless plug for the Slow AF Run Club. You can go to slowafrunclub.com and you can sign up there. But one of the things I typically tell people is if there's a specialty running store in their neighborhood, start there, because typically they have a pulse of the other local running clubs or crews in the area. And they might be able to point you out to say like, oh, yeah, I know about that club. Like, you know, I think about here like, oh, I know about the Prospect Track Club. Like they are speed demons. They practice on speed. That might not be for you, but might want to go check out, you know, if you're a lady, you know, oh, you might want to go check out Badass Lady Gang. Like that's a club here in New York, and you might want to check them out because they might be more your speed. So I would say start there. Now, if you don't have a specialty running shoe store in your area, of course you can go to Slow AF Run Club, but I would say there's clubs all over the place. Meetup is also a good one as well. Or just Google, like just search for Slow AF, you know, I'm going to say Slow AF Run Club, but search for, because I'm always on promotion. I would say like search for Run Club in my area and see what comes up.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. That's great advice. I mean, you brought up a good point, and I've heard some other runners say this online before, talking about, you know, clubs, running clubs or running groups that say, we leave no one behind. We are inclusive to everybody. All paces welcome. And then, you know, if you're new and you don't know anybody, you're kind of, you know, socially awkward anyway. And you're just like, oh, am I going to fit in? Should I show up? And then sometimes you find out, yeah, you're the slowest one, you know? Mm-hmm. Walk me through that. And how do we deal with that? Because of course, it's going to be uncomfortable. But, you know, I feel like we still shouldn't give up.
Of course, don't give up. Yeah. It has. What I tell people is completely normal. It has happened to me. And one of the things that I'm doing is that I just got off a 50-date book tour. And at these dates, one of the things I have talked to various clubs is about, like, what is your policy about somebody who's coming in slower? Right. Because for me, when I hear all paces are welcome, what that says to me is that all paces are welcome up to a 10-minute mile. Mm. So I think for a lot of clubs, we really need to rethink about what that phrase actually means. And I would say for like a marketing perspective, it makes more sense to say like we have these pace groups. So that way I can self-select myself out.
Okay.
And then as a club, like one of the things that you could do is like how hard would it be to put together a run walk pace group?
Yeah.
Like how hard would it be to do that, right? And really rethink your like your group runs together, right? Like maybe you don't need to always have a training plan run. Like what happened to like just a local fun run that's a part of it? So I think that's a few ways you can do that. But for the person, I think one of the things that we really need to do as people who are like looking to join these clubs is to interview them. And yeah. Ask them, like, I run at this pace. Do you have a pace group to support me? And if not, if I come run with you all, are y'all going to support me or are y'all going to leave me?
Yeah. I think that's great advice. That is really great advice. I mean, I've been to group runs where I was the last person at 7:30 pace, you know, like absolutely left behind completely in the dust. And so it's just like, I can imagine how, you know, a newer runner who's brand new is just like, this totally isn't for me. But if the group ahead of time just said, hey, we are 10-minute running group, we're a, you know, 7-minute running group, whatever it is. The communication ahead of time. So that, you know, so that does put a little bit of the responsibility on the new runner too, to actively investigate as well. You can't just hope and pray that it's going to be the right fit. It's kind of like dating, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly what finding a run crew is about. It's literally like dating. Like you need to ask them some questions.
Yeah.
What, like, who's your pace? Is there water being supported? Like, y'all have a no runner left behind policy. Like, what happens if I get left or lost? Because, like, I've been in situations where I've gotten lost on a new route that I didn't even know. And they was like, oh, it's on the group me. And it's like, I'm not even on the group me. Yeah. Or like, oh, it's in the meetup. And it's like, I'm not even there. I just found a flyer and now I'm here.
Right.
So I think that for when it comes back to running, like, we really have to take it back to first principles of just being like, for starters, just being overall a decent human being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because when it's all said and done, Claire, like if you're not a elite athlete, like, and your job does not depend on getting first, second, or third place, like we're all running these races that are over that are really just parades.
Yes.
Like, no, Claire. Like no, seriously,
you're right.
Most races. are permitted as a parade.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in, listener. Most races are permitted as a parade. So guess what you're doing? If you're not competing in the first, second, and third place, you participating in a running parade.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I checked, I didn't see the Santa Claus float being like, damn, I need to get up to the Mickey Mouse float because that fucker passed me miles back.
Right. Like,
there's none of that. It's literally everybody participating, going at their own speed and enjoying the environment and the community. And I think that's what running needs to go back to versus all this, I'm a BQ, you not. You got here because your a sponsor gave you a bib. or you got here because you raised money, you're not good enough, you shouldn't get the same code as me because I qualify for a particular number that don't mean anything because we're all participating in a parade.
That's right.
We don't get any money or we actually paid money to get here. So like, it's one of those things where like, we really just need to go back to making running fun again, taking all of this like ego stuff out of it, and just go back to like really pushing each other to be the best that they can without being assholes about it.
I love it. And I honestly would think raising all that money you have to raise for some of these major marathons is harder.
Exactly.
Than running fast. I mean, for real, what you have to pay to get into these things.
Ridiculous. Exactly. I raised $20,000 to get in Boston Marathon, and I got this jerk telling me I don't deserve the same coat because he ran in that distance in a certain number. Man, you don't get up out of here.
All right. Well, tell me, I got another question for you. Tell me what's harder, running a marathon or writing a book? Because I'll tell you my answer.
Writing a book was probably the hardest mentally thing that I did. Running a marathon was the hardest physical thing that I did.
Yeah.
I think the hard part is that like physically you can adapt to it, but mentally you still have scars after the book comes out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm one and done with the book. Mark, it is harder than a marathon in my opinion. So are you ready to write another one?
You know, I am. Yeah? I have a lot more to say about running. And I think I'm the guy for it just because I have the experiences. I am a coach, and I think I have a lot more to say about running as we know it and really trying to change hearts and minds of like the decision makers when it comes to running. Like I understand that like running is a big business. I understand like there's millions of dollars that comes into the sport, but I also understand that like the people who are in the back, the mid pack, the back of the pack runners, these are the people who are actually spending that money to make this industry a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that is a really great way to kind of wrap it up. But first, tell me what you're training for, if anything, what's been exciting you lately, and then finally, where listeners can connect with you.
So one other thing, I recently just got invited to run Brooklyn Half, so I might you might see me there. If not Brooklyn Half, I will be at New York City this year. I'll be running the race, so that's something that I'm pretty excited about. You can find more information about me a couple ways. SlowAFRunClub.com. That'll take you to the website, and we have merch. We also have an app on iOS and Android. So if you pull out your phone right now, open up the App Store, search for SlowAFRunClub, you can find us there. Now, if you go to Facebook groups and you see SlowAFRunningClub or some other groups, like that's not me. That's not Martinez Evans. If you're looking for Martinez Evans, the only place you'll find us in the Slow AF Run Club and the Slow AF Run Club community is by downloading the app on iOS and Android.
Well, perfect. Martinez, we'll put all of that in our show notes because most people are listening to this on the run right now. It is a pleasure to chat with you today. So happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And now it's time for the Mental Strength Minute. Fortify your mind in 60 seconds or less. Today's topic is shut up, legs. While most of us consider ourselves to be a positive person, sometimes the best trick for doing something hard is a little negative reinforcement. When your legs are feeling tired or they just won't move fast anymore, a stern inner command of shut up, legs can get the complaining to die down. When you're in control and you're telling your legs what to do, you might be surprised that they actually listen and stop feeling so bad. I don't recommend being this bossy in real life, but taking command of your body with a little strong talk might just be the fastest way forward. Thank you for listening to The Planted Runner, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Don't forget that you can win free access to one of my Sprint Session masterclasses just for writing an Apple Podcast review.
So be sure to write yours right after your run today. Reviews are the number one way to boost this show's reach, and it's a great way to tell me what you'd like to hear next because I read every single one. Have a great run today.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.